Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. Rob, we just had a conversation with our previous guest about the cost of owning a dog. Mm-hmm. Now, what about people who want to leave an estate for their pet or their dog?
Yeah.
Do you have a cat? Do you have your cat in your will?
I don't.
I don't have my dog in my will either.
You know, it's an interesting one of, yes, who would take care of them? I'm sure my kids would want them in the will.
And there are a lot of pet owners who actually are worried about this stuff and really want to see what the impacts are. Can you even do that in Alberta, as an example? There's Netflix specials on stuff like this where, what do we call this dog?
Sir Rover the Third.
Sir Rover the Third. That's not the real name. We made that one up, but is like $400 million estate left behind for a dog.
He's living better than humans.
Yeah, there you go. So why don't we find out from the legal experts that we bring on our show. Catherine Zhang is a partner at Walsh LLP. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's get right into it. If you die without having a plan for your pet, what does the law say about that animal?
The default position is that animal is considered property. And so if you are silent, your pet will fall into the residue of your estate, which is kind of the part in your will that deals with, okay, I've, you know, given my kids my jewelry, I've given my sister my family heirlooms and my artwork, and then everything else goes to X. And so your pet will fall into that category and then be distributed accordingly.
I mean, it's interesting to think about, right?
You're going
to
pick somebody to have the cat. Whoever you don't like the most in your family is getting the cat. Isn't that right, Rob?
I was thinking that, or who do you pick as the trustee for your cat, right? So,
well, that's a good question. Like, when it comes to actually you want to name the pet in the will, is that even possible in Alberta? And if you want something that is more like a trust or leave money behind for the care of this animal, what do you do?
That's a great question. And it's actually a common question. So what we typically will do for a client that wants to make sure that on their passing, their pet will be taken care of is you can name specifically and say, you know, at the date of my passing, if my pet Zoe is still alive, then I would like my daughter or my friend to take care of Zoe. With an added amount of X number of dollars for Zoe's care and maintenance. We haven't typically put trusts in place for the pet. You can certainly do it. It's just, especially now with the added CRA trust requirements, you've suddenly introduced a whole new layer of administration and cost into that, where perhaps if all you're wanting to do is make sure that you've got sufficient funds going to the person who's going to be taking care of the pet. We would just say, you know, if my pet is alive, then I want that pet to go to this person along with the sum of X number of dollars. And you trust and hope that the people you've named will set aside that money for that pet.
Catherine, I think you made a good point there on naming the animal. We'll go back to Sir Rover the Third. So if you're pets, obviously have dogs especially have a bit shorter lifespan, and so how do you account for that when you're putting it into your full estate plan if you're planning to own a pet for the duration of your retirement, let's say?
That's a great question. So in some instances we will name pets specifically, but if you know that, hey, this is going to be a long-standing instruction of mine and it doesn't matter how many pets I may have in the future, then we can just make a general reference to any pet that I may own at the time of my death shall be transferred to so-and-so. So you don't have to name that pet specifically. Certainly, if you're feeling spicy, you could give all your pets the same name and then there's no question.
And what about the other side of that transaction? So let me paint the picture for you. Dave doesn't really like my dog. And let's say I put in my will that I want Dave to be responsible for the dog. And I'll leave some money behind so that Dave doesn't have to pay out of pocket expenses. Can Dave say, no, thank you, I don't want to do this? And what does Dave do in this situation?
You can absolutely decline a gift. You can disclaim a gift. And there's a whole other set of rules on that. But if you do think you're naming somebody, I would say the first situation is have a chat with them, make sure they're agreeable. And if they seem to be on the fence, or they say, yeah, right now that would be a great plan, I just don't know what that would be like in the future, then you can always name an alternate, you know, provided that if my buddy Dave isn't in a position to take my pet, then I'd like my pet to go X. And so if and when the time comes, Dave says, yeah, this isn't really going to work for me at this point in time, he can sign a waiver or a disclaimer to say, I'm going to decline this gift, and then it would get passed on to the next person.
Poor Dave. He's going to get the dog anyways. Jesus. In fact, I think I should put in my will that every year a dog is purchased and given to Dave as a gift. Because he doesn't like dogs that much. It's interesting.
And they'd be falling into the office. Catherine, what I think it's a very interesting, I think, point that we're making here. In your experience, what percentage or number of people, is it a common question that you have to ask, hey, do you have a pet? Or how many are actually written into a will?
That's a great question. I would say, you know, I don't always ask the question, to be honest, do you have a pet? But I think for the individuals who feel strongly about their pets, that is something they absolutely mention and they talk about. And we've got one now where we may be putting some conditions in to say, look, if my kids are minors when I pass away, then I'd like my guardians, the pet to be transferred over to the guardians, and for the guardians to continue taking care of that pet until my kids reach the age of majority, at which time they can take on ownership. So it is very common. And, you know, the other common thing we have is people leaving donations after their pets have passed on to the animal food, animal shelters, or, you know, the food banks for pet food, et cetera, et cetera. So there is a lot of different ways to honor pets. The other document that we see often when we find out that you have a pet and you want to make special provisions is in your power of attorney to say, listen, if I have lost capacity and I am unable to take care of my pet, here are some provisions that I'd like to make. And it just makes things easier for everybody all around to understand and know what your wishes are.
Catherine, we have about 30 seconds left. Give our audience like two tips that they should do when they're preparing to do an estate plan to involve their pet in that estate plan.
Definitely talk to the other people that you want involved with your pet. Make sure that there is a contingency plan in place and they're comfortable. And have a thought about, in addition to the pet, practically speaking, what additional funds may be required for this pet.
And that goes into the financial planning part of it. Because even though you're doing an estate plan and you want to leave some money behind for your pet, there needs to be a plan in place for that. There are ways to do this more tax efficiently. Don't just leave your estate there. There's a whole bunch of different ways to take care of that. I think that's very important as well. We want to thank you again, our reoccurring guest, our legal expert when it comes to estate planning, Catherine Zhang, partner at Walsh LLP. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right, Rob, we've got two seminars, one in Calgary, one in Lethbridge, coming up, and they fill up pretty quick. So we want to give people enough time to register online. When are those dates and locations?
You got it. Join us for our next Calgary seminar, Tuesday, April 16th, 7 p.m. in person. This will be at the Silver Springs Golf Course. The Lethbridge seminar, join us Tuesday, May 7th, 7 p.m. in person at the Sandman Signature Hotel. Again, you do have to register for these. It does fill up. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. to do so.
Have you noticed that the CRA has been asking more and more information to be filed by a certain deadline? Otherwise, interest, penalties, surprise taxes come up. We're going to talk about this and what you need to do after the break. You're on Cura Calgary and More Than Money.